We are obviously living in very strange times. And that's what I'd love to talk about, how we can understand these strange times. How strange? Well, as we will see, we are living in historic times. Historic means times that have never really occurred before. And of course, as they say, it behooves us to try to understand, how does all this jive or fit with the divine plan? And that's what I'd like to talk tonight about. But before I begin, this year should be a blessing and a merit for the health and success of the families of Regina Bas Yosef Reuven and Yeshaya Ben Yisrael, Binyamin Wolf Ben Tzvi Hirsch, and Baruch Ben Binyamin Wolf. And you should also see, you should also see Mazel and Brocha. You know, it just Pesach just ended, and we are now actively involved in what is called the days between Pesach and Shavuos, which of course we know to be the Sfira. We count. We count from Pesach all the way till Shavuos, and on the we count 49 days, and on the 50th day, of course, is Shavuos, where there was Kabbalah Satera, where we receive the Torah from God. In any case, so clearly what very interesting, Judaism is always concerned with growth. Instead of seeing ourselves as a people that will deteriorate or go downhill, we are always into the ideas of growing in spirituality, growing in what's called Tikkun HaMidos, right? To develop righteous character traits. And like I said, you know, growing in Torah growth, doing mitzvahs. In short, what we want to try to do, of course, is to get closer to God. Therefore, that is our primary concern. Our year is always taken up with what can we do today that will bring us closer to God? What mitzvahs can we perform? And that's really the time period now. It's incredibly, right now, what's called propitious between Pesach and Shavuos, because it's the period of growth and so on. That's why it's all the more remarkable when you take a look at what's going on in the entire world. And what is really shocking in many ways, it's what's going on in America. It's hard to believe when you look at day-to-day current events what is happening in America. I mean, of all the nations of the world, America always came across as a righteous nation, or at least a nation that had a correct compass. It pointed in direction. It doesn't always mean, of course, that America was always right. No. And of course, America made many mistakes. But at least America held itself to be morally, you know, morally correct, and upstanding, ethical, and so on. So at least they tried to do something in that vein. But today, when we look at America, we realize America, and I will talk about that, and I'll try and explain why, which is really stunning, what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from this. America, in many ways, I hate to use this term, but it's really appropriate. America has become a rogue nation. A rogue means bad news. It's corrupt. In many ways, it's uncivil. It's, you can even say it's criminal. and so on, you know. It's become a rogue nation. That's what America has become. That's very hard to believe in light of what I just mentioned, that Americans always have seen themselves as morally having moral clarity and at least striving it, you know, to a certain extent in that direction. And if they made mistakes, okay, who doesn't? But at least they had what's called the right direction. You know, they had the right compass in that sense, what it means to be a person. And don't make a mistake. Just because America does practice humanity, it is incredibly wrong or corrupt, you see. I mean, just as an example, America provides humanitarian aid, but they want Israel, that was just that the Arabs in Gaza killed, mutilated, butchered, slaughtered 1,200 Israelis, and they want the Israelis to have to provide aid to the Arabs in Gaza? I mean, is this normal? You see, imagine, you know, where a country has to provide an enemy that just tried to destroy it, right? Provide them with what? Humanitarian aid? Especially when, even according to the Arabs, their pollsters have determined that basically, they're different polls, but 80% of the Arabs are in total agreement with what they did, Hamas did, to the Jews in Israel. 80%, which is astounding. Not only that, 80% of the Arabs voted for Hamas, but that they should be in agreement with what the Arabs did on October 7th is astounding. And this is who you want to give a humanitarian aid to? They are almost as much of an enemy, right, as Hamas. Except Hamas did the dirty work for them. That's all, and so on. Anyway, this is the humanitarian righteousness of America. You have to laugh, because that's a distortion of what America has produced. But in any case, what I want to bring out, something very interesting. We see that the world has entered an unusual level of evil, you know, and debasement, and degradation, and so on. And, you know, I mean, the world has been many times evil. But what is so unusual is to watch the people who are supposed to be the guardians of righteousness or morality, they have become evil, and so on. But I just want to point out that there are really, when you think about it, four things that are actually historical, which is incredible. And we've never seen that. Let me give you the four ideas, you know. One, it used to be that if an American institution, United States government institution, was against you, oh, you had won. Okay. But take a look. The forces of evil is the entire American government that is arrayed against Donald Trump. It's astounding. I mean, what am I really talking about? Or who am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the FBI, the CIA, right? The DOJ, the Department of Justice, and the whole court system is arrayed against Donald Trump. Then you have the NSA, which is the intelligence system. You have the IRS. You have the Secret Service. The whole Democratic Party. The whole deep state. Then you have the media, right? And you have the corporations. I mean, take a look. It's the entire United States government and institutions all together out to destroy Donald Trump. Did you ever see that in American history? Of course not. It's not one institution, one branch. It's everybody. What does all this mean? We've never seen this comprehensive, you know, group of evildoers all to get this one man. That's historical. Question is, how do we even explain this? That's the first thing. Second thing, right? Second historical idea is what? Then you have what's going on in the world. How many things are arrayed against the Jewish people? We have never seen the United States. What's happening now is beyond belief. There are over 200 colleges, academia, that have really, in many ways, almost violent, and some of them are violent, right? Battle against the Jews. The amount of anti-Semitism is incredible. We've never seen that before. Never happened in American history, where across the entire land, you have goyim, you know, all like I say, lined up with tremendous amount of Jew hatred. This is unprecedented in American history. So that's the second concept, historical idea that has never before happened. Third idea, we've never seen, I mean, we've had things, but we've never seen a former president of the United States who occupied the Oval Office. I mean, that's supposed to be a very, very dignified job, American presidency. They're all against a former president, which is absolutely incredible. They're all out to get him. They want to bankrupt him, right? And they want to put him in jail, right? They want to get rid of the guy. And there was even, I think it's a, I'm not sure if it was a senator or a congressman, whoever it was, that said that if he is convicted and jailed, we should take away his Secret Service, which of course means he will be murdered in prison, because that's what happens, right? That's why he has a Secret Service. They even want him killed. And he's the former president. I mean, the world is laughing at us because it's not just Donald Trump. I mean, even if you can't stand the guy, he was the former president of the United States. That's the most distinguished, most powerful man in the world. So where's your respect for the presidency? So that's another historical first, right? And then you take a look at what they're after him. These lawsuits are what's called frivolous. I mean, if you take a look at each lawsuit, you look at the lawyers or the court system, are you crazy? This is what you want to try to convict? A former president based on these lawsuits? Yeah, you look at it, and any layperson will laugh at these charges. It's obviously all political to get him. To get Trump, that's what it's all about. You see, what is shocking, you know, most professionals who are professionals are embarrassed to display incompetence in front of other professionals because they can size you up and you're embarrassed. You know, an engineer doesn't want to look like an idiot in front of other engineers. I mean, he's got a certain amount of, you know, respect, self-respect that he has to maintain. Right? Yet they have come out with lawsuits against Donald Trump that should be absolutely humiliating to them, to the lawyers, yet they don't care that they all look like a bunch of baboons. It's just incredible to watch. So this is also historical. I mean, each one of these things has never happened before. The power of the weight, the might of the entire United States government with the media and the corporations, right? And then you have the world, the UN, the EU, right? You have China and Russia, you have Iran and so on. It's absolutely astounding what is happening, you see. And then, like I said, former president, who ever heard of something like this? And then you have the anti-Jewish tirade all across America. We're not looking at one state or one city. It's all across America, and it's happening every day. And even if they're able to get these people off the campus, it'll continue throughout the summer. And the problem is, once something has been ignited, this will continue. You see, because these guys are academia. These guys are the future leaders of the United States. And if this is what they're doing now, why would it stop? They'll always have the mindset that this is the Jews, right? And that's what's incredible. It's historical. Also, what's historical is what they're saying. Most of these people have no idea what they're talking about. You know, there's two incredible levels of evil here. One is to hate Jews. What do you hate Jews for? What'd they do to you? Right? But what we're looking at is one layer of evil, that they hate Jews. That itself makes no sense. They didn't do anything to you. But the second layer is beyond imagination. What is that? That not only do they hate Jews, right, but they elevate and they magnify the greatness of Hamas. Do you ever hear anything like that? They are actually behind the terrorists. That makes no sense. Even if you want to hate the Jews, right, but how could you glorify, magnify, and condone what Hamas did? They are actually butchers. Anybody who ever sees their videos will throw up from what they're looking at, right? And so how could you in any way, you know, support them? That's a level of evil we have never seen. And what a shocking, America doesn't do that. I mean, even if you hate Jews, but how could you support thugs, gangsters, murderers? You see what I'm saying? That's just incredible. So we have to ask ourselves, what in the world is going on? And I just pointed out a whole bunch of historical things that we've never seen. We're not looking here about the norm. This is not the norm. That's the question. And that's what I'd like to try to answer, and so on, you know. So therefore, what I have to tell you is a very important hanhoga, act of God, especially an act of God called the hanhoga of what happens at the end, which is very, very interesting and explains a great deal. Not totally, but at least we can get a glimpse of what is the plan here. Why is God allowing? God is not making them the Americans or the world do this kind of stuff. So the question is, you know, he's certainly allowing it. In fact, it's almost like God has disappeared. In Hebrew, it's called les din. There's no judgment or justice. Les dayan, and there's no judge. God has disappeared. That's what it completely sees. We see, and evil is completely dominant. Completely dominant. You see. So the question is, what does that mean? And the answer to that is something which is very important. At the end of time, and you see from the Gemara, evil will dominate. Much more than dominate, evil will be tremendously successful in accomplishing its goal, which of course is to initiate untold, almost unfathomable harm and damage to the world. What we are looking at, you have to think about this. There are two levels of destruction that a country can do, or even a person. Okay? One is that you do evil, you harm people. That's evil. Where you interfere with their ability to prosper, to provide, to live a comfortable life, to cause pain and suffering. That's an evil, you know? Okay. But there's a second level of evil. Now, part of that also is to be immoral and so on. LGBTQ, according to the Torah, is a tremendous evil. It's immoral. unethical, right? Shouldn't be done. I mean, the Torah condemns it, and so on. It's nothing, you know, like I say, that's what the Torah says, and so on. But that's a first level of evil, to be harmful and immoral. But then there's a second level of evil, is to engage in an activity, right, that is so destructive that it will endanger civilization. That's different. We're no longer talking about a person's life or a person's tranquility, right? His status. We're talking about the ability of mankind to survive as a society. That's much worse, you see. When that happens, which I've talked about before, then God will step in. If you want to do evil, okay, I will allow you to do evil. I created you with free will, fine. Like it says, "Ubuchalta b'chaim," right? You will not do evil, you will do good, and so on. But God will not allow the human race to destroy itself, to destroy its ability to survive as a civilization. He will destroy that country, which he's always done. I mean, the first classic is the time of Noach, where he wiped out the marble. The marble wiped out civilization. I mean, it's hard to believe that God said, "I'm killing everybody." You know, who ever heard of something like that? But he did, and so on. And he's done that. For instance, he's done on a local level. Sodom. Why did he destroy Sodom? Because they were evil? Yeah, they were evil at the second level, because their laws were absurd. It was a mockery of justice. Can't survive that way without law and order. So Sodom challenged the ability of mankind to live as a society. So God said, he destroyed them. In other words, you are doing an evil, right, that does not allow mankind to live. You're going out of the bounds of normative behavior. So I will destroy you measure for measure in an abnormal way, which he did. But we don't know exactly what it was, with a volcano or whatever. We don't really know. It was fire, brimstone, whatever. But he wiped them out in an abnormal way, obviously, and so on. In any case, the world has entered that second level. America cannot survive this way. How can you survive? And it's not only because they sin and they're immoral, you know? I mean, Biden is destroying the United States. It's obvious. And if he wins again, that's the end of America. Basically over. Think about that. Can a country survive if a border is open and people coming in are not vetted at all? And who knows how many criminals, terrorists are coming in? How can a country survive that way, you see? And besides that, fentanyl is coming in and killing over 100,000 people every year. How could a country allow another people, in this case the Chinese and the cartels and the Mexicans, they're killing Americans. Can't survive that way. And so on, you see. So that's number one. Second thing is, not only can't survive, but they're all over America. They're invading every state, you see. But it's one thing, you know, it used to be, if migrants came in, that's one thing. So what it is equal opportunity to work. But we don't have to give you money, right? There's no equity here, there's equality. It means you will have the same opportunity as everybody else. But you will not have the same outcome as everybody else. Well, I have to give you money. Well, we've heard of something like that. That never happened before, you know? And these lunatics, the governors and the mayors, this is equity. What kind of equity business, you know? The mere fact that you want to let them in to have the opportunity to succeed and progress, that's one thing. But the American people have to support these people? That never happened before. What are you guys, crazy? America cannot stand that type of outlay of cash. Then you have the debt. You know, this government is all about borrow and spend, right? And the budgets, what is it now, $36 trillion? You cannot survive with that type of budget, because basically what the U.S. now does is they become printers. It's all printing money, but there's no gold to back it up. Really, when you think about it, it's only a matter of time until the whole budget collapses. America will no longer have the reserve currency. How long can that kind of a budget survive, you see? And then you have the inflation. You know, two-thirds of America basically cannot support themselves. How long could that survive? I'm not even talking about the fact that the gas is going up and people have to travel to work and so on, you know? I mean, when you think about that, the inflation, you see, and then the crime in the cities, are they out of their mind? It's elementary. If there's no deterrence to crime, why wouldn't people do that? It's just incredible how cities allow crime to occur with something which is so elementary that crime needs, right, retribution. It needs some type of punishment, or else it will continue and the crooks, they will destroy society. And that's exactly what's happening in so many American cities, the political burglary rates and so on. I mean, there are people in New York City that go around punching women in the face. I mean, and then they walk away. It's like, you think as far as I'm concerned, we have now entered Alice in Wonderland, for those who are familiar with that book, which is very famous, you know, is a land of total irrationality. You see, that's what it was, and so, you know. That's what the land we have. The crime is and it's elementary what you have to do, you know. And for them who have taken the oath of office to say, well, we hold that the, you know, the people who go to prison, especially the blacks, unfortunately, right, that they are victims. What victims? It may be that it's unfortunate and so on, which is true, and there are reasons why, but you can't allow that, or else that's the end of society, you see? And this constantly continues. So how long can a society exist? And then, of course, other countries around the world see America as a joke. They realize that Biden he's out of it. You see, how could he be the most powerful man in the world? I mean, Biden can't get a job in a mailroom, in a company, in the basement, as part of a mail clerk. He couldn't get a job. And he's now president of the United States. It's unbelievable how America can allow that. It's unfortunate for the man, okay. But how do you allow him to rule? You see, and then he shuts down all the energy, stops all the energy. I mean, I don't want to go to the litany of lunacy that this person does, but it's destroying America. We've never seen that. So America will not survive. And I want to tell you something, which I'm sure we all know. America is the cop in the world. If America collapses, the entire world will collapse with it. And we all know that to be. Our gut tells us that. So in essence, what he's really doing is destroying the world. It's only a matter of time till it gets there. So the question is, what does all this mean? You know? And the answer is that at the end of time, you see, the Rebbe Hashem has what's called Anhaga. What is Anhaga? It's an act. It's an act. It's a series of acts. One of the main things at the end of time that God does is, since the end of time is when God reveals His might, and the revelation of His might, we cannot even begin to process what that is. We can get a certain glimpse. You have any idea what it takes to flood the planet? We're not looking here like, you know, he introduced, you know, a water, you know, a pipe broke, so all of a sudden it's flooding a street. He flooded the planet. For those who do not understand what that means, that's something beyond our comprehension. You see, he didn't flood a country, he flooded the planet. that the waters were hundreds of feet above the highest mountain. You have any idea what kind of water volume that is? And what was it to God? Nothing. That's his might. Then when you take a look at the other things he did, right? Egypt. We have no idea. God didn't call recruit soldiers, right? He didn't have to recruit soldiers. The universe, creation, was his soldiers, locusts. You have any idea how many locusts there had to be in Egypt? Because it says that the whole border of Egypt, the entire country was filled with locusts. That would have been quadrillions and quadrillions of locusts. The real question is, where did he get them all? Not only that, how did he get them all to settle only on Egypt? Right? And he actually, they define the border. This is Egypt and this is Ethiopia, because that's where the locusts ended. Imagine what that is. How do you turn a river, and the Nile is a big river, by the way. I was once on the Nile. It's a very wide, and it goes for about a couple of thousand miles, right? You know, and he turned the whole thing to blood. What does that mean, he turned to blood? He transformed one substance to another substance. You know? And then you have frogs, and you have wild animals, and then you have lice. We've never seen, we cannot even imagine that type of, you know, plague retribution on Egyptians. There's no being that's capable of such an act, of a display of such gevura, such might. That is what's going to happen at the end. It says in Micha, take a look. It says in Micha, Perek 7, 7th Perek, the 15th Pasuk, you know, and I will do what I did in Egypt, what I did in Egypt. At the end of time, I will show you wonders, much more than what I did in Egypt. Could you imagine what that is? We don't even have an idea of the magnificence of what God can do when he wants to punish. You see, and therefore, God says, because that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to display who I really am and what I can do, you know. That's what he says, right? Then there's something that I must do before. If you want to show how powerful you are, right? So what do? You arrange an arena and you hire, you know, a boxing bout. Right? So who do you get to be the opponent? You don't put a 100-pound weakling to battle, because you knock the guy out, big deal. I mean, it's a guy, who are you fighting? Some 100-pound weakling? How is that going to display what you can do? No. You hire a guy that was Mr. Olympia 8 times. And he's a 10th degree black belt. Besides being this incredible physique, he's a 10th degree black belt, and you put him there as an opponent, and then you get in the ring, and within 20 nanoseconds the guy's on the floor. That's how you demonstrate who you are, right? It's obviously, we now understand what God is about to do is really something he's done. He actually has done that. As I pointed out, the marble, Egypt, and so on, he's done that. But nowhere near what he's going to do at the end of time, as I will show you, and so on, you know. So in order for him to demonstrate his might, he has to allow evil to demonstrate their might. And that's exactly what he's done. And now we understand, why is it that evil is so powerful? Like I said, the entire United States is arrayed against Trump. All of them. We're talking about one department. The might, and these guys have almost infinite resources. You know, it's astounding why Trump is still alive. That itself is a nest niggler. He should have had 5 heart attacks by now. The amount of stress and anxiety that he has to face every day? It's beyond belief, besides election interference and so on. It's we cannot believe that. Where does he get the money for this? Okay, they're raising money and so on and so forth. You have any idea how many millions of dollars he's got to pay his team of lawyers? U.S. government, they have all the money they need. They have your money. They take your money and they print it, right? So they don't care. They can sue you in court for infinity, right? Well, and that's why to get sued today, you're finished. Because it has nothing to do with you being found guilty or innocent. Who can afford a lawyer? What do they take now? $500 an hour? $1,000 an hour? Nobody can afford a lawyer who's got that kind of money lying around, and so on. That's why even to defend yourself, you're finished. Even if you win, it costs you millions of dollars to defend yourself. And the government knows that, you know. Your money is finite. The government's money is almost infinite. You see? And so it's astounding that Trump is alive. We don't even know how. I mean, really do we know how? It's all by divine blessing, because God wants him to be president. So he's being kept alive by Nisim. Yeah, that's what it is. It's nobody understands today how this guy still walks around. Not only does he walk around without a heart attack, and not only is he not in the CCU cardiac unit, you see. But like I said, it's a miracle that he's still alive, which is absolutely incredible, you see. But we've like I said, we've never seen anything like that. So therefore, what God has done is amazing. He has allowed evil to be totally dominant, and we're looking at it. So therefore, when God says, okay, I'm now going to take off who I really am, and I'm going to reveal what is called divine might. And you will never have seen that in your life or believe that this is possible for any being to have that type of strength and omnipotence and so on. That is why we are watching unbelievable might of evil, so God can demonstrate his might when he finally reveals it and shows you that the might of evil, even though you're looking at them and saying, forget about it, it's impossible. I mean, people are walking around saying, how do we save America? Everybody knows that. America's finished. If Biden wins again, it's over. So people are walking around. We're looking at a possible termination of America, which is the America. It's liberty. It's freedom. It's morality, right? It's common sense and so on. Because God is going to demonstrate what he is, and so on. This is what has to happen at the end. And we now understand one of the reasons, not the only, but it's one of the major reasons why when evil at the end happens, it's got to happen totally. It's got to happen completely. Where there's not even, you can't even understand how good can return. That's why we have this situation, and that's why the full forces of evil are arrayed against anybody who wants to display resistance to anything that Trump has, you see. And this is called Hanogas HaShlita. This also explains another very important idea. What am I doing? I'm telling you the Anhoga, the actions of God at the end of time. And now you could begin to understand that you're witnessing extremes that we've never seen before in the display of the might of evil. Like I pointed out, the historical. But there's something else that I have to point out to you. This will also explain. Evil does several things. Evil does several things. Evil, the first thing it does is it prevents the good. That's evil. There are forces in this world which are good. They want to do a lot of things, yet they're prevented. Well, that's one form of activity which evil does, is they prevent good. I mean, we all know what that means, right? How many times did we want to do good things, whatever they were, and we were prevented by forces outside of herself. But what can you do? So that's one form of evil. Another form of evil is to commit harm. Not only prevent the good, but you actually commit harm. You know, you damage people. You destroy property or whatever you do. You see, that's what you do. That's another form of evil, you see. But evil also, like I said, is also, so therefore that means that each one of us has really, in a certain sense, two missions. And some of us have three. And that leads us to a very significant idea. We all have individual missions that we must accomplish. We don't know what they are. God makes sure that we will be led in that direction. We have no choice, or else we will have been born for nothing, and so on. But of course that can't be. So we are all led in the direction, and it's not our free will which direction we're led. There is such a thing as prayer, whatever, but I don't want to get into all that. So that's the first thing. It's called the individual designated mission. The second thing is that there are certain people that are, their mission is not only personal, but it's also social, that they have to help others, other Jews, do their job. So that raises their level of mission, you see. It's not enough where they do mitzvahs on their own and so on. No. They have a special mission to go out among the Jewish people and bring them back, or teach them Torah, inspire them to do mitzvahs, right? So that's a second mission beyond a personalized, you gotta do mitzvahs, you gotta keep Shabbos, put on tefillin, etc. No, your job is to inspire, to teach. That's very lofty. It's called Zikui Rabim, which is a tremendous mitzvah. And the darker the environment, the greater is the reward. But there's a third mission. Most people never get to do this mission, you see. And that is to enable God to do the tikkun, which anyway we do, because that's what we do when we do our mission or help other Jews. But what does that mean, to help God do the tikkun? To allow God to magnify His might, right? And like I said, in order for God to magnify His might, right, He has to empower the enemy. He has to empower evil to become great, which is what I just said, right? So therefore, what God has to do is that if you, in some way, have tremendous spiritual capacities, right, you're dangerous to evil, because you're going to stop evil, right? You're going to prevent them from doing their evil designs, whatever it is, you see? So what God does, He stops you, right? And all of a sudden, you can't believe what's happening. You're basically righteous, right? And, you know, you want to do good, whatever, and all of a sudden, it doesn't work out. You're prevented. And the reason for that is to allow evil to prosper, right? So evil can grow, and allow God, when He does reveal Himself, to fully reveal His might. So you're helping God magnify Himself when He does do that. Isn't that incredible? So you become the korban. You become the sacrifice. And that has nothing to do with what you deserve. And you can't stop it. It has nothing to do with your merits. God will ignore your merits. I want to tell you something is incredible. He will ignore your merits, even though you don't deserve this to happen to you. You know what I'm saying? But it has to happen to you to allow God to magnify His might. So in one sense, that's terrible for you, you see? But in the other sense, you are contributing to the tikkun by allowing God at the end of time to magnify His might. And the reward for that is beyond comprehension. Because you don't deserve this. I mean, how many people are there out there that look at themselves and they say, I don't understand what's happening to me. I want to learn Torah. I can't. For for whatever reason. I want to do this mitzvah. You know, I want to become more religious. I want to try to break my midas. I can't do it. I'm put in a situation that I forget about it. It's impossible. You know, I don't want to become loose morally. But what am I supposed to do? I got to go to work. And I'm working in a place that there's a lot of loose morality and so on, you know. What am I supposed to do? I got to work and so on, you know. So you're being forced in many ways to be prevented from being righteous, or even you have to sin. And of course you're not held guilty at all. In other words, there is a what's called a anahoga of God that he will interfere with your ability to do mitzvahs, for the purpose that he can magnify his might by allowing evil to be unbelievably strong. But you know, you don't, even though you don't deserve it, and your merits won't help you at all. Now, we don't know who God chooses for that. That's why there are righteous people that are incredibly successful. You know, they get to whatever, they learn Torah, and they accomplish a lot in Torah. You know, they're tzaddikim, they're big yeshivas or whatever. And then there are guys that are loners. Nobody ever heard of them. They don't teach anybody, right? And they could be tremendous Talmid Chachomim. Or they could be tremendously righteous people. Nobody even knows who they are. We don't know how God chooses. It all depends on your root soul. This knowledge is denied us, who God will choose. But this is a very important idea, that things can happen against you that have nothing to do with your free will, that have nothing to do, like I say, you know, with your choice or your righteousness. God needs you, right, to be the prop that he can use, so when he reveals himself, right, he will then be able to reveal himself with absolute might and crush evil, right? By the way, that's one of the simonim that Mashiach is around the corner. Because God will only do that when he's close to revealing who he is. That's why I'm bringing it down in this shir. We don't realize what I just told you about all the historical ideas of what's going on is incredible evidence that we are at the end, or else we would never have seen such an unbelievable insanity, lunacy, psychosis of what is happening to the good, whether it be in America or the entire world. You see, now, think about this, and this is another demonstration. Remember the principle that I just told you, that as we get close to the end of time, God will enormously intensify evil in order for him ultimately to demonstrate the absolute nothingness of any opponent. Okay, very important. And that explains in many ways. But let me tell you something. What is the greatest evil of all? Interesting question. I'll tell you what it is. To defy God. Can't get worse than that. You see, I don't get to the whole subject area, but to defy God. One of the ways, and we've seen that especially in our generation, okay, is to, one of the greatest way of defying God is called anti-Semitism. Why? Could you imagine a king that has a son that he loves, and this son is the prince, right? And some guy walks over to this son and he punches him in the face. Wait a minute, what are you doing? This is the prince, this is the son of the king. So not only is he harming the prince, he's mocking the father. So well, let's see, if you're so great, stop me, or punish me. It's a mockery to the king. Therefore, these goyim have no concept. We have seen that is the greatest chilul Hashem you can ever have. If you want to desecrate the name of God, if you want to desecrate God, then the worst thing you could do to desecrate him, right, is to mock, is to hate, is to harm and destroy his children, because they're his children. It's interesting that we don't think of it in those terms, but you don't realize the greatest desecration of God is to destroy his kids in front of his face. Because what you're essentially saying, ha, ha, right? Do something. Let's see who you really are. And of course, God doesn't do anything, because that's what he chooses to do. Where was one of the greatest Chil Hashem's ever done? We cannot comprehend in any way. It's unfathomable how great of a desecration this was. The Holocaust. You have any idea? The Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, killed 6 million Jews, right? Okay, so the Jews died. But do you have any idea what kind of desecration that was to the name of God? Because they knew what they were doing. Everybody knows that the Jews are the chosen people. They all know that. Everybody read their Bible growing up. They know what the position of the Jews are in the eyes and the mind of God. But who cares? You see, this is what they did. They killed 6 million Jews and used them as fuel. I don't want to go into the horrors of the Holocaust. We have no idea. It's not that they killed, you see, because we think, well, look at what they did to humanity, which is true. They murdered millions and millions of people. And of course, it's not only Jews, it's Goyim. They say, how many people died as a result of World War II? 56 million people died because Hitler, Yimach Shemo, lived. But so we say, you know, I mean, who can even imagine the retribution what God will do to the Nazis, Hitler, Goring, Himmler, SS, Eichmann, and so on, right? We cannot. But we don't really grasp what they did. They mocked God. They destroyed his children. Where God says, I love you. Could you believe doing that to God's children? No, we can't. You see, I want to tell you something, an interesting, you know, imagine you're in India, you know, and you collect or you gather animals to sell to zoos, right? You're in India, and you're looking for a tiger cub. That's what you do. So that's where they are. They're in India, basically, right? So you're going in the forest, and all of a sudden you hear a noise, and you see two or three cubs, tiger cubs, right? And you look around and there's nothing around, nobody, right? And you go over and you begin picking up the tiger cubs. You put them in a bag, you know, one, two, and three, and then you stop. And then all of a sudden you hear a rustle, right? You don't know what it is. You turn around and there it is, 10 feet in front of you, the tiger mommy is looking at you. And you know what's about to happen, your dinner. That's basically what's about to happen, you see? Because you've been starting up with the wrong kittens, right? That's what it is, I mean, I'm finished, you know? And it's not just because you're kidnapping her kids. You're looking at the mother. It's her kids. It's a mockery to the mother. That's the same idea. You had the whole Nazi Germany and Europe killing Jews, and Franklin Roosevelt denying Jews entry, and the British denying Jews entry with the white paper, right? And this is God's children, his chosen people. And this is what you're doing? And God is looking at you. And it's beyond belief how God can stop himself from killing you, you see. And you're doing that. Well, the sin is not merely that you've killed his people, and therefore you've enormously diminished their ability to do the tikkun. You have made a fool, I hate to use that word, you've made God the laughing stock of mankind, right? Because you've done the worst thing you could possibly do, you see, by defying God in the worst possible way. Think about this. Think about that. And like I say, we don't realize what's about to happen. Think about this, what the Holocaust did. And not only them, the communists did the same thing under Russia. Communism did the same thing. Even though they didn't kill the Jews, but they prevented them from learning Torah, from doing Bris Milah. Are you kidding? They mock God. That's really what it is. It's not that. We cannot even begin to imagine their punishment. Now think of this, right? Iran, the Arabs, they know what it says in the Torah, because the Quran uses the Torah many times. They know what it says, that what God holds about the Jews. And they know that God said the Jews have to get Eretz Israel. How many times does he say that in the Torah? That I give Israel to the Jews? Over and over again, that this is your land forever. Yet they are at the forefront of hating the Jews, right? You cannot have Israel. We will kill you, right? What is it? From the river to the sea, without you, right? Right? They want to not only deny Jews Israel, they want to kill them. But wait a minute, you know who they are. You know what their relationship to God is. Don't you have any fear? Don't you have any fear of taking the tiger cubs in front of the tiger? And so on. They don't. You see. So when I talk about what will be the incredible retribution, we cannot even begin to understand when God does display his might. And that's what he's doing, by allowing the enemy to flex their muscle. Go ahead. Show me what you got, God is going to say, right? And now let me show you what I got, right? And what he has is unfathomable. It's beyond belief. You can see that from Egypt. Take a look at Paray, right? What did God do? He allowed Paray to issue a decree of straw. But you know what kind of mockery that was? Because he wanted Paray to feel good about himself, to feel powerful. Again, he wanted to allow evil to intensify, because when he takes them out, boy, is he going to take them out. You see? And he allowed Paray. Now, if 600,000 people, males over the age of 20, so they estimate, right, there's 2.5 or 2.4 million Jews that left Egypt. But that was only for one-fifth, right? There were probably close to 12 million people, Jews, right? So could you imagine the display of power and might that Paray had by making Jews slaves, millions of Jews slaves, and then he had them decree where they would have to gather straw? You have any idea what kind of display of power that is to the Egyptian people? And God said, go right ahead, don't worry. I want you to have the delusion of how powerful you are. Because when I come to get you, you won't even know, you cannot even fathom what will hit you. Which is exactly what happened. And we really see it by the Kriyas Yamsuf and so on, you see. So what I'm telling you is we don't realize, you see, of what it means when God will do that. And we have witnessed in this century, right, 21st century, an unbelievable display of desecration of God's name. I feel sorry for America, because America is displaying, like I said, a historical venting of Jew hatred that we have never seen. They don't know what they're doing, you see. It doesn't make sense. Not only are they saying Jews don't deserve Israel, right? But they're saying that Hamas is virtuous. They're okay. What do you want from them? And that Michigan, Biden and Blinken, right? They want to make ceasefire with butchers? Would America do that? Of course not. Does Biden have any idea of what awaits him? You know? If you want, which is interesting, if you want to understand the depravity of America, imagine what's the main campaign promise of the Democratic Party. Abortion. they want to say abortion, right? And that we will permit it up to the time of birth, right? Could you imagine that your campaign promise, right, to the people, and therefore they should vote for you, is murder. We will allow you to murder your infant. Excuse me. That's your campaign promise. Is murdering infants infanticide? I don't believe what I'm hearing, right? And they don't think about it in any way. There's not even a division. You know, after a certain amount of time, how do you kill the kid? But right up to the time of birth, it's a full human being. The only difference is that it's inside the woman and not outside the woman. But it's a real human being. And you want to butcher it? Cut it up in pieces? And that's what you're claiming, right, is your just cause to become voted president? I mean, how sick can you get? How evil. I'm just giving you an illustration. Where is this country headed? Do they not understand that when finally justice looks at them, do they not understand what's going to happen? You see, when you think about it and you meditate on it, it's frightening, you see. And you know where you really see it? In Parshas Nitzavim, in Devarim. I once mentioned this a long time ago, which, by the way, was the Parsha of 9/11. That was the Parsha on 9/11, okay? It says there that Yeshaya Hanavi, he had a prophecy, one of the greatest of the prophets. What was the prophecy? That he saw God coming to him on a horse, dressed in red, all red. Now, that imagery is bad news, because God means about to exercise judgment, dinim, judgment. And that's why he's all red, filled with blood. So Yeshaya, I know he's seeing this in prophecy. So he says to God, wait a minute, what is this? So he thought that God is going to execute judgment against the Jews. So God said, no, this is not for the Jews. Who's it for? It's for Edom. Edom, Esav, right? So why am I all red? Because I just got finished stepping on Esav like a grape guy who wants to squash the juice out of the grapes. So you ever see the old way of doing it is a guy actually washed his feet and he stepped on the, you know, on the grapes where the juice would splatter out, right? So I just got finished stepping on the Edomites, Esav, and this is their blood that splattered out of their body, and it's got it all over my garments. That's the imagery that Yeshaya. So you ask yourself, wait, and this is Edom, and I told you who Edom is. There's a good part of Esav and the bad part of Esav. This is the bad part of Esav that's going to happen in the end. So I asked myself, wait a minute. If this is what he's going to do to Edom, what could Edom have done to deserve this? You know, we're not even talking, you know, there's ways of killing people and killing people. You know, why just slip him a cyanide pill or whatever. I mean, if God wants, he can kill people any which way he wants, you know. But this is brutal, to step on somebody and his blood squeezes out of his body and he splatters on your clothing. You have any idea what kind of brutal imagery that is? So the question then is, well, if God did it, then it has to be just, which is true. The question is, what could they have done? Well, you're looking at it. This is what they did. They killed 6 million Jews. Then the communists destroyed the religion of millions of Jews, right? Then the Arabs prevented, they killed the Jews. How many times did they kill them? And they prevented them from having Israel, you see. And then the UN, then America, right? Does America realize that they're destroying whatever merit that they had, right? 200 colleges, and it's still going on, right? Are saying from the river to the sea that the Jews should be death to Israel, right? And so on. One of the merits of America is what? Is that they allow the Jews to have freedom of religion, right? to be able to learn Torah and so on, where they allow the Jews, right, tranquility and so on. That's one of the greatest merits that America has. So this is what they're doing? What fools they are. They're destroying their merits. That's what they're doing. And what's incredible to watch is Biden finally, after 13 days, says something about it, and he gives a 4-minute speech. Oh, is this guy normal? It's incredible. They don't realize, America does not understand what it's doing to itself. Because the greatest act of desecration of God, Chil Hashem, is to make a mockery of God by touching His children. That's what it is. You know, look, we understand these ideas, but we don't hear them many times. We don't understand the depth of the evil that is being done in this world. But this is really what's happening, basically. You are watching an intensification of evil because we are very close to encounter the full might of a divine being of which we have no idea. I mean, just think of one idea. We want to think about the might of God. We know God created everything. Let's take this universe. Scientists estimate that this universe, right, is 13.7 billion light years. A light year is a measure of distance. How much can light travel in 1 year? So we know, because 186,000 miles a second. So in 1 year, if you add up all the seconds, it can go approximately 6 trillion miles in 1 year. You see? But wait a minute. The size of the universe, which is estimated, right, is 13.7 billion times 6 trillion. Now, what kind of a distance is that? We cannot imagine. But wait a minute. If God created all of this, that means He has to be at least 13.7 billion light years in size. Think about that. That's what molekularis kavoidai means. The earth is filled. Doesn't mean the earth, it means the entire creation. But wait a minute. How could you have created the entire thing? You're not even as big as the universe. No. He's as big at least as the universe. You know, what kind of a being is that? How can you have a being as big as the universe? Think about that. Right. So what are we dealing with here? We are dealing with a being that is unimaginable. He doesn't exist in time. He doesn't exist in space. His size is infinite. You can imagine what that is. And not only that, He is everything, right? He is the totality of existence. What are we dealing with here? You see, you can't play around with God. So when God says, you know, that I will show you wonders like I showed you in Egypt, He's talking about now, the end of time. That means when God does exercise His might, get out of the way. Because we have no idea what that is even going to look like, you see. And everything we see now is nothing more to allow God to say, okay, evil, I want you to think that you're strong. So I'm going to give you the full thrust of your desires to do evil. Right? Okay? Biden, do what you want. The Democratic Party, do what you want. Right? LGBTQ, do what you want. The UN, no problem. You can condemn Israel. Right? The European Union, Russia, Iran, the Arabs, no problem. Right? Do what you want. I will stand back and let you do everything you want to allow you to have the delusion of unbelievable power. You see? Do it. Then I will come in and do such a job on you to demonstrate that it's not that there's no power in the universe besides me. You don't even understand what a power is, what a divine power can do, you see. And that's the idea that I wanted to bring across. One of the greatest indicators is that we are right up to to the Messianic era is because evil is so so prevalent and so on, you see. And like I told you, a very important idea, there are many Jews that suffer not because they deserve it, that they suffer because they have to be part of the ability to allow evil to think that it is almost omnipotent, right? And the reward for that is beyond our comprehension, you see? So, what can I say? Let not Trump wonder why the whole force of the US government is arrayed against him. You know, like he's one guy, and there's like 50 million people with machine guns aimed at him. You see? He's probably wondering what in the world is going on. He's never seen anything like this. Like I say, it's historical. But this is why, that God is allowed. And you should know one thing. That's one of the greatest miracles of all. And what that is? What God said to Adam HaRishon, the first man, and you will have the ability to dominate the world. You know what God really said? Which is unheard of. That I give you the ability to do whatever you want. You will be able to control all nature, right? And guess what? You can control me, right? I give you the privilege, as I coined this term, you will have the privilege of defiance, right? There is no existent creature in all creation that can defy me. And if they try, they wouldn't last more than not even a nanosecond. But you know, you could do it your whole life, and I will do nothing. I have my reasons, God says. But we have no idea the power that God gave us. The privilege of defiance. That's what God gave Adam HaRishon. Only man has that. Obviously for the reason that he has to be able to express his free will totally. So God said, you know, but there will come a day that I will exact payment, right, for what you did. So somebody has to be smart and say, wait a minute, it's not worth it. Like I say, you know, you want to steal those tiger cubs? Just make sure the tiger's not around. But we can't do that. You want to defy God's edicts? You want to destroy the Jews? You want to humiliate them and make them into nothing? Okay, your free will. But there will come a time when you will pay the price. And the problem is that price. Remember Parshas the after of Nitzavim. All the red that you see on my clothing is the blood that has been splattered because I crushed Esav as if I was a winemaker crushing the grapes. And that is a terrible, brutal description of Midas Adin and so on. Any case, so I hope I've answered some of the fundamental ideas of why we are looking at something that has never happened before, which I mentioned in the beginning. Never happened before. So the question is, how can so many historical ideas or events happen in our generation? In the last 2.5 years, never happened before. And the interesting thing is that they happen so often, it's almost like we expected every day something else historical is going to happen. We're waiting for something historical to happen. But we're already so used to it, they wouldn't even think about it. But they're really all historical. Anyway, so now is the time of the days of Sfira to do tshuva, to do the Tikkun HaMidos, to character traits, and to learn more Torah. And the main thing is Emunah Bitochen. Hang in there. Remember, God is there. It's only a matter of time, short amount of time, until He says, enough is enough. And now I will show you who I am. Okay, thank you.